We are in the middle of Perikov test. We're in the middle of Pasuk L'chashem, Ha-Gedula, V'ha-Gvura, V'ha-Teferes, V'ha-Netzach, V'ha-Hoti, Cholbash, Mayim, Boris, L'chashem, Ha-Mamlocha, V'ha-Misnasi, L'chol-Rosh, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We are still in the middle of Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yeah, of course. Okay, we have to finish the Rashi. Rashi, we learned last week one of the two Perushim in Rashi. We're in the middle of the Rashi. What? Okay, so this pasuk we said every day during davening. This pasuk we mentioned a whole collection of praises: Gedula, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, V'Hahod. Five praises, five specific praises. Kichol Ba'ashmanim, to you, Hashem, is everything in the heaven and the earth. L'cho Hashem Hamamlocha, to you, Hashem, is kingship, is authority, the ultimate authority. V'Hamisnasei L'chol Rosh. We were discussing that those difficult words. What does it mean, the Hamisnasei L'chol L'rosh? So Rashi, okay, we didn't do the Rashi yet, so we really have to let's just recap from what we learned in the Mitzudos. Hamisnasei L'choshem Atahu Hamamlech Melachim V'yatahu Hamisnasei Eskol Asher Hu Umad Liyo. So you appoint. Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're going to do the Rashi one moment, L'choshem Hamlocha, but first we do the Mitzudos. V'hamisnasei l'chol rosh, you are the one who gives authority to all leaders. Rosh, in this context, according to the Mitzudos, and according to, I think the more popular perush is, Rashi will mention also as well, is, rosh means leadership. Every single leader in this world is appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says even the one who's in charge of the leader of drawing water from the well. It appears in ancient times, the water carrier, those who would draw water from the well, was not a very important job. It was from the lowest station in the social ladder. Wood choppers and water carriers. So water carriers are maybe even lower. They're not the ones who actually draw the water from the well. But a person who draws the water from the well obviously was not a very distinguished profession. But even a person that is appointed to be in charge of who draws water from the well, the lowest level in the social, the lowest place in the social ladder, even he is appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because even he has some degree of authority. So the Hamisnasei, it is you, Hashem, who give authority L'chol L'rosh for every leader in the world, everyone, even people who draw water. That is really what the Mitzudo says. The Mitzudo says, V'yatu Hamisnasei Eskol Asher, you are the one Hamisnasei. You raise up. Misnasei comes from Nasa. Parashas Nasa. Nasa means to lift up. You, Hashem, lift up ordinary people, people who have no authority. You lift them up and you appoint them to positions of leadership. And in this world, there are unlimited number of positions of leadership, all different types of profession. But any person that does have some small degree of authority, all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hamisnasei, you lift up l'chol, every individual who has in this world a position l'rosh of leadership. Now let's look at the Rashi. Rashi l'chol rosh pishron. Now here Rashi Rashi is focusing not so much on the word l'rosh. He's focusing on the combination of hamamlocha v'hamisnasei. Pishron. What does this mean? Rashi is now giving. I'm reading the Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Yud Aleph in the middle. L'choshem hamlocha v'hamisnasei l'chorosh pishron. The interpretation is as follows: Melech, concerning a melech bosar v'adam. We're going to contrast the melech bosar to the melech malchi hamlochim. Im nosan la'avdo echad sarara u'memshala b'malchus. B'malchus acher. Let's say a king who controls the entire world or a country appoints a governor, appoints a person, a sar, to be in control of a certain district, a certain country, a certain medina. So if he gives to one of his servants sarara u'memshala b'malchus acher in another region, another malchus, hasar hu avdo b'chol makom shehu, that servant, wherever the servant goes, will always be a servant, because his authority is derived from the king. The king, he's a subject of the king. Even though he's now serving in the capacity of leadership, he's still called a servant. However, avla malchus eina shel melech. Once a king gives over part of his authority to a to a servant, the king does not have control over that country, that medina, that district, that city, which he has delegated to this specific subject. Umisha malchus shelo, and the one that has malchus, if a person is truly a melech, ein hu'evet hamoshel shelo. If it's your malchus, then the eved hamoshel, the eved who rules, is not yours. If it's truly yours, the umisha malchus shelo, to whom
the servant's not the ruler.
To who the malchus belongs, ein ho'eved hamoshel shelo, the eved that rules is not his. In other words, it's impossible to have both. You can't have memshala and malchus together. I'll show you a few more words, maybe we'll come clear. Ava kadosh baruch hu shelo hu ho'eved hamamuna limshol, but kadosh baruch hu, it's not so. But kadosh baruch hu, the servant is his. Wherever person is, that servant remains a Kadosh Baruch Hu's servant, but still Hashem retains v'gam ha-malchus shelo, the malchus is also belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So by Melech Basar Adam, once you delegate, once you give up part of your malchus, once you give authority to someone, automatically you don't have control. And if you do have control, then there's no such thing as that was the other part. And if you do have control, Misha Malchus Shalo, Ein Hoevet Hamoshel Shalo, if it's your Malchus, then the Evet which rules. Okay, I'm not really clear. I thought I understood this, but I see now that I don't understand this. Okay, I don't know. But I just didn't prepare enough. The idea is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls his world is unparalleled. There's nothing like it in this world. In this world, if you have authority, you are independent. If you don't have authority, then you are subordinate to your superior. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. He has total authority, but he also does give people the ability to express themselves and have power. Something along those lines. Ulefichu therefore, Ksivit says, L'cho Hashem, T'yu Hashem, Hamam L'cho. You are the Melech, V'hamisnasei Aleihem, and you are the one who lifts up people to positions of leadership. The Afilu, this was I mentioned to you before, Afilu Reish Gargusa, even the person who is in charge of the well. Gargusa means the well. The person who draws water from the well, Mishamaya Manule, is appointed from heaven. Okay, so this is the first parish of Rashi. Rashi is trying to explain the significance. I'm not aware of any of the Mepharshim that focus on this point. That take these two words together, Hamam Locha, V'hamisnasei. Try again to recap. In this world, there's no such thing as having both together, mamlocha v'hamisnasei. These two words are mutually exclusive. If you have mamlocha, if you are in control, then there's no one else that's lifted to a position of authority. And if you are lifting another person to v'hamisnasei l'chol rosh, you're lifting a person to a position of authority, that automatically means that you are not the melech. You cannot have both. That's the basic gist of Rashi. One more time. We have two concepts. L'cho Hashem hamam l'cho. That's number one. Number two, v'hamis nasei l'chol rosh. You lift up people to positions of authority. These two concepts are mutually exclusive. If a person has been lifted to a state of leadership, of authority, that means the one who has given him that authority has relinquished his power. He's no longer the melech of that authority. On the other hand, if you are still called the melech, you rule, then it's impossible for a person to be considered a misnasei l'chol rosh, a person to be lifted to a position of authority. If I am in control, there's nothing else. Everyone is my slave. No one has any authority. Malchus does not go together with giving over authority to other people. People are your assistants, but it's not. Well, you would not call them a rosh, at least the way according to Rashi learns. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, is the melech malchei hamlochim. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he conducts the world, he does give people the power to lead and to show their authority in this world. So Hashem, he still retains his malchus, but he does give over the reins of authority to other human beings.
Guidelines.
Of course, right.
That's the point.
But you have to, of course. Otherwise, if you don't work, right.
Control, as long as you're working within the framework set up for you.
Right. So that's what the pasuk means according to Rashi. You, Hashem, have both. By human beings, these two concepts are mutually exclusive. But by Kadosh Baruch Hu has both. He's the Melech Malchei Amalachim, but he still allows people to take the reins of authority and control and rule this world. We have that later on. That Shlomo Melech is sat al kisei Hashem. We're going to have that pasuk very soon. That's a very famous pasuk. The Shlomo Melech Imamish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let him sit on Kaviyachol, the kisei HaKavod, and control the world. How could that possibly be? That's exactly what Rashi is telling us. We don't understand what that means, because by human beings, if you're sitting on the Kisei HaKavod, your predecessor is out. There's only one Melech. Ein Shnei Melechim Meshamshim Ketzer Echad. Yet, by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's Shaykh, such a thing. You can be the Melech, you could have authority over the entire world, you can sit on my Kisei HaKavod, but yet I'm still the Melech Malchei Amalachim. Only by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does there exist such a concept, L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha, and yet, V'hamis Naseh L'chol Rosh, he will lift up people to positions of leadership. Now we go to Rashi's second interpretation, V'od Perishu, V'hamis Naseh L'chol Rosh, Kisho'od. Now this means an entirely new interpretation. According to this interpretation, I'll give you the gist of it outside before we read inside. L'chol Rosh means, like what the Rambam says, Tachlis Hayidia Leida Shaloi Neida. The purpose of knowledge is to know that we know nothing. After everything is said and done, and the more you study, the more you comprehend, you realize you have not even begun. That's what David here is saying, that after everything we've done for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the Shiros V'Sishbochos, L'cha Hashem, we're giving you here the ultimate Shevach. This is an extremely powerful pasuk. We don't even appreciate how powerful this pasuk is. These five expressions of praise, which seem to encompass everything that there is out there. Gedula, Gvura, V'Atiferes, V'Netzach, V'Yahod. But by the way, we have not even started. V'Hamisnasei, L'chol Rosh, after we have elevated you, Nisnasei here means we have praised you with these five expressions, we have not even begun. We have to now start all over again we have not even begun to the tip of the iceberg to give praise to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's try to read those words inside. V'yod Perishu V'Hamisnasei, L'chol Rosh, Kisha'anu Sevirin. When we foolishly think that She'shavachnu Lach, that we have praised you, Kol hahodos, all of these beautiful expressions of praise, ve'ein l'cho ot shevach acher, and there's nothing left to do. We've said the five expressions. Adayin eino klum, it's nothing. Shehameshuboch oime l'rosh ha-shevachos. Because the one that is praised, referring here to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stands at the very beginning. We have not even begun to give you, to express praise. V'chein, he gives other examples. What's the last mizmar? Shir Hashem, Shir Chodosh. What is David saying? A Shir Chodosh. The simplest. So what does that mean? Kolaymar, Kol Hashvachos Chodoshim Him. All of the praises are new. Ki ilu loy shivachnuhu me'olam. All of the praise that we'll give you are like new, because it's as if everything that we've done until now, reading the whole Tehillim, composing the whole Tehillim, compiling Tehillim, it's nothing. It's nothing connected to what you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, deserve. Kach perish li Rabbi Eliezer bar Meir, bar Yitzchak, Meir Orleans, v'chein v'chagigas Yerushalmi, kibedumali, it appears to me this parish in the Yerushalmi, I don't know where it means in Yerushalmi, this parish, but this is a whole new interpretation of HaMisnaseh l'chol rosh. You are elevated, you are exalted for all. L'chol, I don't know, it's hard to translate the word l'chol. L'chol, l'chol, after we finish all of the praises, l'rosh, we start again at the very beginning. We recognize that we have not even begun to give you praise.
That Rimi Orleans was one of the
Bali. One of the Rebbeim of Rashi. You look in the history of Rashi, there's not all that much history of Rashi, but he's one of the names, the famous names that I mentioned, who the Bali Tosfos is correct that Rashi learned from. Okay, now there's a very famous medrash. If someone mentioned it last week, let me. I don't want to go. It's hard to go over all the psukim, but there are multiple medrashim. In fact, that tell us these expressions of gedula, ha-gedula v'ha-gvura v'yataferes v'netzach v'yahod is such a central theme in our liturgy and in Shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The medrash very much likes to take this, or even the Gemara, And we use it in many different ways. One of the classic interpretations is the Gemara Masechta Brachos, and Daf Nun Ches Amid Aleph. I'm going to read it very quickly. L'chashem Agdula Zomai Sebereshis. The word Gedula is a code for the great things Hashem accomplished with creation. How do we know the word Gedula refers to Maaseh Bereishis? V'cheinu Oimer, Oisei Oseg Gedolos Ad Ein Cheker. This pasuk is written in reference to an Eif, in reference to Maaseh Bereishis. It's beyond investigation, and it's called Gedolos. Creation was called great things. So when it says Gedula, it's Maaseh Bereishis. Next word, HaGevura. What's Gevura? Zu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why is the word Gevura a code for Yitzias Mitzrayim Shnemar? Vayar Yisrael, after they were sitting by the Yam, so they say Yod HaGedola. So the word see the Gedola is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Next.
Gedola.
Vayar Yisrael, the Sayod HaGedola, she also Hashem b'Mitzrayim, vayi ru'u ha'omes Hashem, vayimin b'Hashem Moshe Avdo.
Are you saying Gevura?
You're right. HaGevura is the Shnemar Vayar Yisrael, Sayod HaGedola. Okay, so I guess what it means is he has a parish here. Gedula hainu gevura. You're right. It's a little bit forced. You have to look at the Gemara Masechta Brachos. The outstretched hand is an expression of might, gevura. When a person picks up their hand and pounds their hand, it is an expression of gevura. Even though the pasuk says literally hayod hagedola, the combination of yod gedola is the same thing for our purpose, according to the Gemara Masechta Brachos, as an expression of might, gevura. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The Hatiferes, what's the third word in this sequence? Zo chamu levona shamdu lo Yoshua in Givoin. Shenemar vayidoim hashemesh v'yoreach omot. Now why is that called Tiferes? So the Mepharshim explain, because Hashem made for himself shame ulesiferes. Again, this has to be subject to interpretation himself in Brachos, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for himself a reputation. And reputation, chazal, is always used, always referred to these two words, with the words, I'll turn this off, the battery's dead. These two words, okay, don't worry about it, it's okay, for now it's okay. L'shem ulesiferes is a code for reputation. And by causing the Shemesh and the Yireach to stop in Givon, when Yeshua was fighting against the kings, the 31 kings, that's where we find Tiferes. The Hanetzach is victory. What's that referring to? Zoma polosa shel Romi. That refers to what's going to happen to the Lost Mashiach at the end of days. The coming of Mashiach, when Rome, Edom, the fourth Golos, will come to an end. How do we know that? It says, V'yez nitzcham al bigodai. The spurting of their lifeblood is on mine. Now this is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking revenge. There are many interpretations, very difficult pasuk. It refers to a very mystical concept where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael who have been murdered by the Romans is on my garments. I see it before me continuously. We even mentioned this in one of the kinos on Tisha B'Av, reference to Tachvetat, the Crusades. The blood of their lifeblood that has been spurted in when they were murdered is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's garment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take revenge. He's yearning, looking forward toward that day, will take revenge. So here it's a little bit of a drush. It says the word nitzcham. Nitzcham means their lifeblood. We use the word netzach in reference to an entirely different word, victory. Victory. So it's a whole different word. The Pshut HaShel Mikra, nitzcham means lifeblood. Netzach means victory. However, they do share the same letters. Therefore, there must be some type of relationship, and that's enough for the Gemara Masechta Brachos to make a drasha that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact revenge for the horrors, for the sins of Edom, it will be Netzach. It will be the HaNetzach. So we have, now we come to the last word. The last word is VeHahod. Hahod is going backwards. Kiv HaNetzach VeHahod. I don't know why the order is in this fashion, but that's what the Gemara Masechta Brachos says. The last word is Hod, refers to what happened when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim in Nachal Arnon. In Nachal Arnon, they were passing through a valley, and the Goyim wanted to, which nation was it? It was Avahod zo milchemes nachle an shem al kein ye omar besefer milchemes Hashem es vohev besufa. It says vohev besufa. This refers to when they were traveling to the Midbar. I think it was either Ammon or Moab. one of the nations was standing along this cliff, and they were waiting to ambush Klal Yisrael as they were coming. Moav? Moav? So they were waiting to pass through this very narrow strait. They were lying in ambush, waiting to attack Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about an incredible miracle where the two mountains came together and crushed the entire army. And their blood, the Klal Yisrael was unaware of the miracle that happened. But later, when they passed through a later part of their journey, they saw pools of blood. And then they traced the blood to this cliff, and they realized that the miracle happened where the cliff, these two different sides of the mountain, came together and crushed the enemy. That's what it refers to in Oil Chamoav. So it has to be Moav. And how do we know the word Hod? So this is also a drasha, because it says Vohev. Vohev besufa. Vohev simply means a place. On a very simple level, it's one of the masos. However, Chazal Darsh and Vohev to refer to love. There are many drashas, but here the Gemara is making a drasha. Vohev are the same letters as, are similar to the word Hod. Why is it similar to the word Hod? I'm not exactly sure, because you have a Hey and a Vav, and I guess the Beis and the Dalid, the Beis and the Dalet are somehow related, and that gives us the right to say that there's a relationship between the word Vohev and the word Hod. This is what the Gemara says. So it's a Gemara. It's not a. It's something which we have to study the source. Okay, that's the fifth reference, and then there's a sixth reference of Kichol Ba'Shamayim of Aretz. That refers to Milchemes Sisra. Okay, Dvor and Barak. How do we know that? Because there it says Min Hashamayim Milchamu Hakachavim B'Misiloisam. There it says in the pasuk in the Shiras Devara that the stars participated in the battle, that somehow the stars moved and caused them to get very hot. There was some shinui in the constellations, and the enemy was extremely hot. Their swords were absorbing the rays of the sun, and they were holding their swords, and were heated, and they went to cool down in the water, and when they went to cool down in the water, the Yam came and flooded them, and they were all washed up. 900 chariots were washed up. There was some type of tsunami which washed them away. So there it says, Min Hashamayim Nilchamu. In fact, there's a very bizarre reference to life in outer space. And that pasuk, Oru Meros, the Haftarah, which parashas will have one of the parashas coming up soon. Oru Meros, Shiras Oz Yashir, right? Oz Yashir, Parashas Mishalach, Yilin the Shiras Devara. And there, Barak, or Devara, curses Meros, because the Martians on Meros did not come to participate in the battle. They were called to come participate, and they did not come. Some of the Farshim learned that there were living creatures living in Mars on this planet called Meros, and they were summoned to come, and they didn't want to come, so Hashem destroyed them. A reference to life, extraterrestrial life. There is such a Makar. There is such, who says this? There is such a Makar. This Oiru, remember, when we come to the Haftarah, not a couple, two, three months from now, Oiru Meros. May the inhabitants of Meros be cursed. Simply means people who live in this country, somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, there's a place called Meros, but other Mepharshim Luna refers to the planet Meros, whose creatures did not participate in this battle of wiping out Sisra. So this pasuk says, Kichol Ba'Shamayim Uva Aretz. Ba'Shamayim is a code for what it says in Shoftim, Min Shamayim Nulchamu Hakachavim Mimisilosa. Then when it goes on to say L'chashem Hamam Locha, Zo Milchemes Amolek, that refers to Amolek. Why? V'chein Oemer Ki Yod Al Keiska Milchama L'Hashem Amolek. It says, through Ki Yod Al Keiska, and through Rashis Goyim Amolek, I'm not sure we can go, you have to look in the Gemara. I don't know the Gemara. The Gemara there elaborates, Rashi elaborates what the Makar is. And the last word, Hamisnas, the Cholvar Zum Milchemes Chagomagog. That's the last Malchus. How does the word Misnas say? Because it says, Nisi Rosh. He is the leader. He is the prince Rosh of Meshech Visuvol. It makes reference to the king of Gog as a Nisi, a prince, which comes from the word Misnase. So in total we have 7 expressions. That's one of the nice things about this medrash, that it opens up the pasuk from 5 to 7. Gedula, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Kichol Bashamayim of Aretz. No, there's even 9, I'm sorry, there's 8. Kilchoshem Hamamlocha, and then Vahamis Nasa. Let's run through it very quickly. Gedula is Maisa Bereshis. Gevura is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Teferes is Yoshua, the 31 kings, Shem Teferes. Netzach is Mochemes, is Edom, the fall of Edom. Hod is Anachal Arnon, what took place during Yitzias Mitzrayim. So which number is that? That's number 5. Kichol Bashamayim, number 6, is Sisra. L'choshem Hamamlocha is Amalek. The Hamisnase L'chol Rosh is Mulchemes Goig U'Magog. So this pasuk, this medrash, this Gemara, Gemara Masechet Brachos, Daf Nun Ches, takes this pasuk, breaks it down into 8 parts, and this spans these 8 different battles, these 8 different events, encompass the total Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this pasuk we say this pasuk when every single day, we say it today, when you take out the Sefer Torah, when the Chazan instructs the Tzibul, Gadlu LaHashem Iti, Unirei V'lo Shemo Yachtav. How do we respond? L'Hashem HaGadulav Yagavurav Yateferes V'Nevstach V'Yahod. Why do we say this pasuk? Because simply, when we're taking out the Sefer Torah, we are saying, Gadlu LaHashem Iti, the Shliach Tiva takes the Sefer Torah, he holds the Sefer Torah, and holding the Sefer Torah from the Aron, in a way, is similar to what David has accomplished. David here has laid the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash is a makom, the Hashras HaShchina for the Aron. As we mentioned in the Rashis before, the whole tafkid of the Beis HaMikdash is a place to put the Aron, and on top of the Aron are the Kruvim, and on top of the Kruvim is the Shchina. Now, when we take the Pnimius, What's the focus, the most important part of the Beis HaKnesses, which is the Sefer Torah, and we hold it, and we ask the Elul, God, Hashem, Iti, and Remesh Moyachtav, we respond the same way David responded when David reached his goal of establishing a place to store the Shechina, which rests upon the Aron, which has within it the Torah, the Luchos, and the Sefer Torah.
We say it
a few times. We say by Varech David, and we say we take out the Sefer Torah, and we say also another place where we develop this is the first Hoshana. The first Hoshana on Sukkot, Leman Amitoch, also has all of these words. Leman Godloch v'Sifartoch, Gedula and Teferes, Leman Nitzchoch, Leman Hodoch. We have all the words here. These 5 words appear prominently, not in the same order, but in the first Hoshana. The first Hoshana is the most significant, because that's, and anything that's the first obviously is very significant, and we focus on this pasuk. This pasuk also refers to the different spheros. There are different spheros which also come out, I'm not familiar with the Kabbalah in Yonim, which come out from this pasuk. By once we mention Elchashem HaGdula, I just want to tell you, going a little bit off the topic, but God Lashem Iti, this is the response to God Lashem Iti. So Rabbi Reisman in his Sefer Path with the Prophets, he has one of his imponderables, and he asks, why is it, when you take out the Sefer Torah, we once discussed this, it's very briefly to go through it again, it's very interesting. When you take out the Sefer Torah, why do you take a Sefer Torah and you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Which way do you face when you say Shema Yisrael? You face the Olam. Then when you say, Gaal Hashem Iti, what do you do? You turn around, you face the Olam. So he rises and he leaves as a tzorch in Gadol. He cannot find, does not have a source. It should be just the opposite. When you say Shema Yisrael, that's part of the Nusach of Davening. So in Eila, you should be facing the Aron. It's part of Davening. And when you say Gaal Hashem Iti, you're asking the Tzibur, let us elevate, let us make great, let us declare the greatness of Shrechu together with me, and we respond with what David said, L'chashem HaGadul V'Hagavu, we respond with the ultimate Shevach. David, just like David, when the Klal Yisrael came and they built the Beis HaMikdash, the place HaShoreh Shechinah for the Aron, we respond with the same pasuk. Shouldn't it be just the opposite? Shouldn't you turn around by God, L'Hashem Iti?
No.
Why not?
Because you're facing the Olam, Shema, hear me. But
where do you face when you say Gaal Hashem Iti? Where do you face? You face the Aron. Okay, so you want to say you face both. You want to say that you should face both. You want to change the question. The same way, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you Klal Yisrael. But why do you turn around for Gaal Hashem Iti? Okay, so let's revise the question. Just like you face the oil when you say Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you should face Tzibur when you say God Lashem Iti. Isn't that what you're doing? Isn't that what God Lashem Iti Unirayim Mashmo Yachtav? So why are you turning to face the Aaron? He doesn't know why. He says he looked all over, he couldn't find him.
That's something there. No, yeah. I mean, as you're saying, it's a good question, but you touched on it right
yeah.
there. You're saying, what happens after the Chazan says Shema Yisrael?
Yeah.
The Oil of Man says Shema Yisrael. So okay. They're all acknowledging, and then you're happy that everybody joined in and said Shema Yisrael, we acknowledge Lecha.
Okay.
But then you turn around, and you look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you say Lecha Hashem Agdullah.
Okay.
Okay. You know,
okay.
Now thank God that everybody believes.
Okay, okay.
And then you say the answer is Harsh Hamadu. Right.
Okay, I think it's a little bit easier to understand now that we're learning this pasuk in context. Who is, well, look what's happening by Klal Yisrael. David here is asking Klal Yisrael, making an appeal. I'm about to die. According to some of Farshim, he died right after he said this. Right after this happened, he died. That was, like, these were his dying words. Not everyone agrees to that. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos is not mashma like that. But there are midrashim that say these were his last words. He makes an appeal to Klal Yisrael. Please, everyone, participate in the building. What? Oh, that's the problem. The problem is they're conflicting midrashim. It's not a difficulty, because there are many times where the midrashim and the Mori Chazal contradict one another, especially in Divrei Agada, even in historical facts. Enoch Nami, I don't know. It's a very big question. When exactly did he die? Okay, but these are certainly the very end of his life. That is certain. He makes an appeal. He tells Klal Yisrael, "We're building a Beis Hamikdash. I'm not allowed to build it because Hashem told me I may not do so, but my son Shlomo will finish. Everything has been prepared for him, the mishmaros, the gold, the silver, so on and so forth. But we need more help. We need more money, and we need people to donate of their time and their skills for the conclusion." The people very generously respond. David is making, if you go look at the whole context, David's appeal is Gadlu LaHashem Iti Unuroim Mashmo Yachtav. Here we are, let's try to look at these psukim in context, so we don't take a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is the Beis HaMikdash. The Aron, the whole Beis HaMikdash is all for the purpose of hosting the Aron, the Kruvim, the Shechina. David is making an appeal. Rabbi Yisai, I need your help. David is basically saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, God Lula Hashem Iti, I can't do it alone. It's not enough. I've appointed Shlomo. Shlomo is Echad. He's just a young, he's Nar Vorach. He's only one person. Even if he was 100, we would not have enough power to do what we want to accomplish. I need some help. God Lula Hashem Iti, Unirayim Moshmo Yachtav. How does Klal Yisrael respond? Very generously. They very generously respond. They say, yes, we're going to give money, we're going to do this, we'll do that. And they give basimcha with a full heart. Nowhere else does it say that they responded with great joy. And then who's the one that says, L'cho Hashem ha-gadula v'ha-gavur v'ha-teferis? Not the tzibur. David. David's the one that says, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael has responded, and in Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Klal Yisrael has responded so generously, David is the one that says, L'cha Hashem HaGadul V'HaGvur. So what's very difficult is, the Shliach Tzibur, you would think, would be David. Right? Isn't that what you would think? And David, in fact, says, Gadul L'Hashma Yisrael, Hashem L'Kin Hashem L'Chol, Gadul Hashem Iti, Nirem Hashem Yachtav. But who's the one that responds, L'cha Hashem HaGadul V'HaGvura? Dov is the one that responds, L'cha Hashem HaGadul V'HaGvura. But yet, it's interesting that in the Nusach HaTzvila, it's the Tzibur that responds, L'cha Hashem HaGadul V'HaGvura. Maybe that has something to do with why we turn around. Why David, I don't know, it doesn't really fit. What is the Sardi version?
No, but
I have to go see.
Everything together, the shots and the
shot.
We have Rabbi Pollan by us at Kingswood.
Yeah.
No one should turn around. We got the only the Shaliach Tzibur. Everyone else should face the other way.
Everyone should face forward.
Forward, except for the Shaliach Tzibur.
Well, everyone faces.
Saying, when people take out the. No.
When they say God, when the Shaliach Tzibur says Galu.
Even the people taking out the.
Even the people doing Pesicha.
Yeah, they should face.
They should continue. Don't turn around with the Shliach Tzibur.
Don't turn around. All who on the stage, all the chashuvim on the stage, the president, the vice president, the chairman of the board,
everybody.
They face. Only the Shliach Tzibur should turn around and should say, "Gad Lashem iti uroim shmo yachdav." Okay, it's very interesting. Why? And then who responds? We respond. The Tzibur responds. L'cha Hashem hagedula. Okay, I don't know, interesting. I'll just tell you, my father, Zichron Levracha, he said a drush. When you say Gaal Hashemiti, this is a drush, it's not pshat. He said it's a drush. It's Gaal Hashemiti, you're not talking to the tzibur. You're talking to the Sifrei Torah. When you take out a Sifrei Torah, so you're insulting all the other Sifrei Torah. Only one Sifrei Torah is coming out of the Aron, you have multiple Sifrei Torah. So you're addressing the other Sifrei Torah. God Lashem Iti. I'm not just taking the Sifrei Torah. I want to, together with me, God Lashem Iti. Don't be insulted that I'm only moving you and one this Sifrei Torah, not the other Sifrei Torah. All right, so this is Josh.
You told us
about
this half in a row.
Hakol Toli B'mazel Chutz Afilu Sefer Torah Shebeheichel. Shebeheichel. So the Sabbath Rav is wanted to say Sefer Torah Shebeheichel. It's a Afilu Sefer Torah Hayoitzei Minoheichel. Teretz is the one that has good mazel are the Sefer Torah that remain inside. Because the Sefer Torah that they take outside, the Olam is Mevazer. They talk during laning. So when they talk during laning and they don't give the proper derecheretz, it's insulted. So when the day is over, which one had the good mazel? The one that had mazel, the Sefer Torah shebehechol, the Sefer Torah that remained in Hechel did not come out.
So when a rabbi collects a big sum of money, you should say, L'cha Hashem,
okay. This pasuk was said by David in response. According to the Medrash, this pasuk refers to the 8 different events. There are really 5 simple expressions, Gedula, Gvura, Tiferes, Nezach, V'Yahod. And then the Medrash elaborates and turns it into 8, referring to 8 different events. Okay, let's go further. V'Oyishev Yaakov, let's go to the pasuk Gidbeitz. V'Oyishev Yaakov od Milofonecha. Wealth and honor are before you. Izeho Ashir Hasaymeach Bechelgai. Real Ashirus is not money. Real Ashirus is happiness in life. Viakovoid Izel Muchubod Hamechabit. Having a position of kavod is not for yourself. It's all for the purpose of using your position to give kavod to other people. When you're a big rabbi, so when you say hello to someone, that person feels very good. This big famous rabbi, he said hello to me. The ikur kavod is a zehu mechubad hamechabe. Anyone that tries to take kavod for themselves learns very quickly, doesn't last very long. It's not very good. The ikur kavod in life is to use your position of honor to give kavod to other people. Milafonecha. All of this comes from before you. You, Hashem, decide who will be in the position of Osher v'chavod, v'ata moshel b'kol. You have authority over all. Uviyotcha, and it is in your hand, koach gvura, power and might. Uviyotcha, and it is within your power, legadel, to cause, to grow, to become great. Ulchazik, and to strengthen l'kol, everything in this world. V'ata lokeinu, David concludes, and now our God, modim anachnu loch, we thank you, Umahalalim, and we praise L'shem Tifartecha, your glorious name, period. Let's see the Tupsukim, let's see over here the Tupsukim in the Mitzvot of Pasuk Yud Beis. Milafonecha Mimchohim Nisunim, wealth and honor come from before you. L'chol Eskol Asher Tachbots, to whom you want. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Moedim Anachnu, Al Kol Ha'isher, Harav Asher Nasat Lanu, we thank you for the wealth which you have given us. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis. V'Ha'isher V'Yakavod Milafonecha Miyadcha, it is from your hand. So Rashi says that the word kavod always goes together with honor, is always joined together with wealth. Bezuha kesef, bezuha zav. Pasunachim, the two go together. Nofel means that they're joined, they are associated. Nofel means honor is associated with kavod. Rebbe mechabed ashirim. So Gemara, Rebbe gave honor to the wealthy. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person unusual wealth, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reasons. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to use this person as an instrument for some important purpose. And therefore it's a sign that we should give them honor.
Only to the wealthy?
not only to the wealthy, but I assume means an extra dosage of kavod. It's hard to understand. You look at some wealthy people and you look at them like they're, you know, you don't have a lot of nice things to say about them. And yet, Chazal say, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. So how do we reckon, so how do we understand that? It's hard, but that's what it says. So what does that do with anything? That doesn't, that's for yourself. You should not pursue kavod. But a person who is wealthy, that's what it says here, a person who is wealthy is deserving of honor. These two concepts go together. Osher goes together with kavod. Rebbe mechabed ashirim. This is when he brings a pasuk in Nachum. We find another example. We find by Lavan. Lavan's children complained. They complained that Yaakov stole all of Lavan's assets. Yaakov was extremely successful with the sheep. Every deal which Lavan made with Yaakov, Yaakov always came out ahead. And Lavan's children and family were jealous. Yaakov was more successful than Lavan, and they were complaining about Yaakov's wealth. And how did they describe Yaakov's wealth? With the word kavod. U'me'asher li'avinu, from what belonged to our father, also eskol ha'kavod hazeh, Yaakov Avinu acquired all of this wealth. And how do they describe it? They describe it with the word honor. Kolaymar kol ha'osher, she'sigalti me'itcha, that I have a skula, came from you, hu ki ata mosh, it's going back on the pasuk. This is going back to playing the pasuk. David is saying that all of the wealth that I've had, all came from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And that pasuk, by the way, the kavod is written choser. Okay, it's written without a vav. There's two types of kavod. Sometimes in the chumash is covered with a vav, and sometimes covered without a vav. When Yaakov tells, when Yosef tells his brothers, go to my father and tell him about all the kavod in Mitzrayim, there he uses the vav. And all the Mefarshim say, is that their cheretz for Yosef to tell his brothers, to tell him to go brag about the kavod, all of the honor that he has received here in Mitzrayim? And why is it spelled there with the vav? And when Lavan complains, Yalavan's children complain that Yaakov has stolen or has acquired all of this wealth, there they use the kavod without a vav. So the answer is there are two different types of kavod. There's kavod with a vav, kavod without a vav. Kavod without a vav is kaved. Kaved means heavy. It's a burden. When the wealth has no spiritual meaning, has no purpose, spiritual purpose, then kavod, honor, is nothing more than a burden. It weighs you down. But when the kavod, the honor, is used for purposes of kavod shemayim, of using your influence, using your wealth to inspire other people to do good things, that is a kavod with a vav. It's mole. And that is something that is really for Yaakov to tell his father, Yosef, tell his father, do not worry, come down to Mitzrayim. Here in Mitzrayim, I have enormous influence. I have kavod with a vav. I'm able to convince all of the Egyptians to have a bris milah. I'm able to teach them some moral values. I'm able to convince them maybe to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Here, the kavod that I have is not a burden. It's a kavod with a vav that can bring more kavod shamayim. So we have here two different types of kavod. Here in the pasuk, it says kavod with a vav. He can't really bring a raya from what it says in Divrei Hayamim, because the ksuvim is not as, the precision is not the same as in the chumash. But yet it does say there's osher and there's kavod. The kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu is when a person is covered with a vav, which is the good type of kavod and not the harmful kavod without the vav.
Is that your drush or your
It's not my drush.
By this logic, revolution is absolutely wrong.
What?
By this logic, what you say now, revolution is wrong.
Revolution?
Evolution.
What is evolution? What does evolution have to do with this?
When poor people strike and
revolution. For money. They make a revolution because they want money.
You have to do your shtavos. If the government is corrupt, you have to do your thing. Okay, let's go for that. That's not a contradiction. This, it's a popular art. Many people say the same thing. Okay, so this is the cover. Let's go further. Now let's go to pasuk Yudim and Rashi. That you have bestowed upon us from your goodness. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk Yidal. Now we go away a little bit from the Nusach Hatzil. We'll come back to the Nusach Hatzil in a few moments. But v'chimi ani, who am I? Umi ami, ki na'atzor koyach, that you have given us strength. Na'atzor means to come to intensify strength. L'hisnadev kozos, to be... Let's see the mitzvahs. Look at the mitzvahs. Oitzem, what's some v'chi? Oitzem yodenu gadol kol kach la'atzor koyach l'hischazik. L'hischazik means to strengthen. La'atzor koyach means to like a tzu, like a rock, like a rock. A rock. One of the reasons for rock is when all of your all of the parts come together and it's one. Something is described as becoming strong when there's unity, when everything comes together in one. So that's what it means. Kinatzar means we take all of our talents, all of our abilities, and we join together as one for a singular purpose. Kinatzar koyach means we intensify strength by unifying together for the purpose of lehisnadev, to give donations, kozos, as we have given. Then he goes on to say that even though it appears that what we've given is our own property, the truth is we acknowledge kimimcha hakol, everything belongs to you, and everything that we have given really came from you. Nothing that a person has really comes from Hashem. Everything, and it comes from himself. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see them see this. And let's see the Rashi. And there's a beautiful medrash. Me, Pasuk Yidal, me ani, David says, Rotzalanar, v'chi oitzem yodeinu gadol kol kach, is the power of our hands so mighty, la'atzor koyach, that on our own we would have the ability to strengthen ourselves, l'hischazek, l'esoif ha'hoin, this wealth, l'hisnadim, l'dov gadol kazos? Absolutely not. Ki mimcha, kol oish, what has come to us from your hand, we have just recycled. What you have given us, we've given back to you. We have given back to you. Rashi, Pasuk Yedaled, v'chimi ani, u'mi ami, ki natzor koyach l'hisnadev, she'dochaknu atzmenu, we have pressed ourselves, l'hisnadev kol kach b'zos hanadova, v'lo mishalanu, it's not because of our success, our talents, it's because elamim cho'akol, v'cholakto lanu ma'at, everything comes from you, V'cholakta lanu, and you have given us, ma'at. I don't know what it means, but you've given us a small portion. U'miyadcho nasata lanu, u'mash nasata lanu, what we have given you, miyadcho nasanu lach, nixas. We've only given you part. Nun degusha b'mkoy, nun shniya, nisonanu, there's lach, there should be two nuns. But when you put a dot in a letter, that acts as if there are two letters. So nisonanu, we have given to you. It's as if it says that because there's a dot in this pasuk. Now there's a medrash. The medrash says, I don't have the words here, that everything that a person does, every mitzvah that a person does only comes when Hashem first gives you something. I don't know the exact words of the Medrash, but the gist is that a person ever put on tzitzis on a beged, if not for the fact that Hashem gave you the beged. Did you ever give truma? When you give truma, what are you giving? You're giving a small amount, giving 1/50th. Before you give truma, so you think that you're a tzaddik, oh, I'm giving a kodesh baruch, I'm giving the koyanim truma, I'm giving them 1/50th. Yeah, but Hashem gave you 50. Hashem gave you 49 portions. Hashem first gave you 50 portions, and now you are giving one portion to the koyan. Hashem is giving you the medrash goes to all the different types of mitzvahs. Every single mitzvah, it all starts with a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving first to you, and after Hashem gives you, then you separate a small one, you give back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the makar for this medrash is this very pasuk. They quote this pasuk that ki mimcha hakol, Everything first comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to me umiyotcha, what you have given us, nosanu lach, we give back to you. You give us grain, we give you a small teeny amount as truma. You give us garments, we put on it tzitzis. You give us a house, we put on it a mezuzah. All the whole like list of examples, 10 examples. Hashem is always the one that takes the first step. Pasuk Tezayin, Tezvav, Ki Gerim Anachnu Lefanecha, we are nothing more than Gerim, strangers, this Soshavim Kechol Avoseinu, and two different terms, we have Gerim Vis Soshavim Kechol Avoseinu, like all our forefathers, Katzel, this is the Nusach HaTfila on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Katzel Oiver, Katzel Yameinu Al Oretz Ve'ein Nikveh, we are just nothing more than a shadow. Our days are nothing more than a shadow on the earth, and there is no hope for us. Mikveh means to hope. Mikveh Yisrael. Mikveh means one. It means to go to, like tikva. It means hope. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk tesvav ki gedim lemul shenosecha, relative to your years. Hashem, you are infinite. Lemul shenosecha yimei shenosein ma'atim uheimu nothing. Kimei ager be'eretz nachi, like a ger, a stranger in a foreign land. Therefore, what's happening here, we acknowledge that this, that we're able to amass enormous wealth, is lamala miderech hateva. It would have been impossible miderech hateva to collect so much money if not for the fact that you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, have done this for us. What does mean that we're called Soshavim? Kol ma she'anachnu Soshavim be'olam ein anu Soshavim elo kechol avoseinu. This, that it appears that we are dwellers, sojourners in this land, it's only not more than our forefathers who have already left this world. We're nothing more than gerim. So when we say toshavim kechol avoseinu, it's a way of expressing a ger. It's another form of ger. If you would say a toshav alone, that would mean that you are a permanent resident. But when you take the word toshav and you connect it to the word kechol avoseinu, that means even under the best circumstances, let's look back at history. How long did our fathers live in this world? They only lived here for a number of years, and then they're gone. So even the best toshav is nothing more than a ger. So the word v'soshavim kechol avoseinu is another expression of a temporary resident. If you have the word toshav alone, it means a permanent resident. But when you connect the word toshav to kechol avoseinu, you compare our existence now to our forefathers who only lived here for a short period of time, we acknowledge that we're not here forever. Kitzel, we're nothing more than a shadow. The shadow comes and goes. Kapoyne b'chol eis minutiyas ha-shemesh ken yemein, just like the shadow the whole day is changing when the sun rises and sets, it moves throughout the day. So too, al-aretz b'chol eis poyne v'oiver me-hayomim ha-ketsuvim, over the said amount of days, so the period of time during the day, so too our time here is limited. V'ein mikveh, v'ein tikveh, there is no hope l'odom l'harich yom av yoyser more than HaKotzov, more than has been assigned to him in this world. A person cannot hope to live here in this little world more than has been set aside. Now Rashi tells us there are different types of shadows, different types of tzel. Let's see Rashi Pasik Tezvav. Ki geidim anachnu lefanecha ve'ein lanu chelik v'nachlo be'aretz v'lo yachuza elu lagur ba. We have no hope of living here for a long period of time. Dugmo ki geidim v'sashavim atemi modi. We have an apostate that says the same thing. But our fathers were guests, person that has children and has inheritance. And he sells all of the inheritance. If the children want to come back and live there, it's too bad. Since the father has sold the assets, the children are nothing more than visitors. Our forefathers were guests. So, the what the way Rashi learns is that if the previous generation owned the land, then they at least were called, they were called Toshavim. If our grandfathers sold, the fathers and grandfathers sold the assets, and we come back and live on their same land, so we are Gerim. But at least the previous generation, who at one point in time did own the land, were called Toshavim. We can't even say that. Even our forefathers are called Gerim. I know, of course, it just means that how long a person lives in this world. The person's only here for a short period of time. Even though Rachel, of course, the Nachla for the Klal of Klal Yisrael as a whole, but on an individual basis, the person is only here for a small period of time.
So he's picturing it in terms of living by the Mazeh in general, no matter where.
Right. No matter where you live, you're only here in this world for a very short period of time. Okay, let's see next Rashi. Kegel Kitzel Yemenu Al Aretz Mefurish BeMedrash Kehelas. The like Kitzel Hu Ilan. When it says that we're nothing more than a shadow, there are different types of shadows. There are some shadows that are pretty good. For example, the of a tree. The like Kitzel Hu Ilan. The like a shadow of a tree casts a strong shadow. No, we're not even like that. The like Oif HaPareach. What about the shadow that a bird casts when it flies? Nope, not even that. That's also very insignificant. Among liyamim v'shanim, oyle sho achas oisetzel eliketzel kanfe hadvora sheyesh lo kanafayim ve'in lotzel. We are like the shadow underneath the wings of a bee. How much shade do the wings of a bee cast? Almost nothing, because they're see-through, right? They're transparent. They're transparent wings. So the amount of shadow so not only you're not like a tree, not only you're not like a bird, or like a creature which at least has some degree of shade during its existence, we are like the shadow of a bee. This one says in the Medrash, we have no hope, there is no one that could expect to live forever. No such thing. With that sober note, we'll conclude. All right. How are you? Have you been? I've not seen you in a very long time. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Where have you been? What?
Time?
Okay, very good.
Write a check.
Yeah. Does it say anything about Fanny Menasha?
No.
Okay, let's begin.